Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, this is hilarious. I've got like 50 different news stories in front of me. News stories, posts on X, tweets, whatever you want to call them. I've got half a dozen Montana Talks stories that I printed off here. The Daily Caller, Breitbart, Daily Wire, some local news sources and more. And yet somehow I missed this one. This story is freaking hilarious. John Jackson missed us on Tuesday. He was doing that. Apparently it's white privilege to go running. Did you know that, John, that it's a white privilege thing to go running? So you were at a track meet yesterday celebrating your privilege, apparently.
I saw that comment. And you really think about it, running is the cheapest sport there is. What do you have to have is a nice pair of running shoes. That's it. Think about every other sport. You have to have a court, a field, and all these different things that go with it, and balls and bats
fancy
and
gloves.
And all that. I mean, anybody can go out and run.
Yeah, you don't even need fancy running shoes. I mean, those are nice, but you really don't need them to go running. I mean, some of the best runners in the world are out in Africa. They come from these remote villages that's all they have is running.
Maybe you can tell my daughter that, since I'm popping $300 a pop on these all these running shoes. Tell her that one.
No, I'm going to tell her, hey, you know what? Your dad needs to buy you more shoes. You know, those things wear out pretty quickly, so you need to be. I know they say every 6 months you need new running shoes, but, you know, you're such a good runner. You need to tell your dad you need new shoes every 3 months. That's what I'll tell her. Huh?
Well, it's every 6 months unless she sees the other girls in the newest thing. And then got to get that.
All of a sudden they're worn out.
Yeah.
But the funny story, so I got all this show prep in front of me here, and somehow I missed this story about Norah O'Donnell. Is she NBC News? I think she's NBC.
CBS.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. One of the fake news media outlets. But apparently her husband's restaurant got busted. Huh?
Yeah.
What's the story here?
In a crackdown in the D.C. area, ICE hit several very, very Tony fancy restaurants, including Chef Jeff's. That's G-E-O-F-F. Very fancy, and Tony.
Not just an everyday Jeff.
No, this not J-E-F-F.
This is a Geoff.
Geoff. Owned by Norah O'Donnell's husband, Geoff Tracy, that's his name, was one of the among the handful of eateries targeted by feds on Tuesday.
So the husband of a big-time media personality, his restaurant got busted for hiring a bunch of illegal aliens.
Yeah, not just a big-time media personality, but Norah O'Donnell, the CBS mainstream media fake news pompous snotty left-wing loon. That Norah O'Donnell, yeah.
This story is so symbolic, though, of the Democrats and the media in the fact that they literally have been telling us that the reason why they want these illegal aliens to come here and to stay here is because they need servants to work at slave wages for their labor. And so here you have literally her husband is using illegal aliens as servants in his restaurant, and he just got raided by the feds. This is just hilarious.
Got to hand it to them. They weren't lying to you, right?
Man.
They wanted their servants, and sure enough, they are using their
servants.
Is
the bistro cacao safe, though? You know, because John Tester's got to be up at that trough here as we speak.
It's May 7th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Barriers Awareness Day. It's a day where we all must continue to dissolve the stigmas and biases many of us face on a daily basis. Whether physical, financial, cultural, or social, today is the day to bring attention to those barriers which don't allow our fellow Americans and human beings from fully participating in society. Also on this date in 1798, the first presidential inaugural ball took place for George Washington in New York City. The Ninth Symphony debuted in Vienna in 1824. It is widely considered Beethoven's greatest work. If it's your birthday today, you share it with legendary Hall of Fame quarterback and Baltimore Colt, Johnny Unitas, born in 1933. And Fast Times at Ridgemont High director Amy Heckerling, born in 1954. I'm Tushar Saxena with your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
He's alive! He's still with us! Man, a lot of our Montana Talks listeners were worried. They're like, hey, how is Ken in Great Falls? Is Ken okay? We haven't heard from him since the election. We got to hear from Ken in Great Falls for the first time since the November elections on Tuesday's Montana Talks. Now, it's great to hear from Ken. Glad to hear he's doing well. What do we got coming up for Wednesday's Montana Talks? Well, John Jackson, the Joker from X, he'll be with us for an Unwoke Wednesday.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, John, you missed the big news. This was massive, and there you were, celebrating your white privilege at a track meet. But by the way, when I see somebody running like a mile or 2 miles or 3 miles, they can enjoy that privilege, because that does not look like a privilege that I wanted. I mean, actually, nowadays, especially with a beautiful sunny day like today, it's like I actually kind of miss running, you know, because when you had to do it in the Army, you're like, oh, man, I got to go out on another 5 mile run here or whatever. But now that I got such a bad back, I can't just go run anymore. Now I actually do miss running, but I miss the privilege of running. But yeah, you missed the big news. Our first phone call since the November elections from Ken in Great Falls. I was really getting worried. We had listeners wondering, where's Ken? We haven't heard from Ken since then. I almost searched the obituary pages. I was so worried. I wanted to make sure he was okay, but we heard from him yesterday for the first time.
Well, you know what he's been doing for the past 6 months, ever since last November? He's been wandering around the house like Jack Nicholson in The Shining, just wearing his, you know, old nasty bathrobe, hadn't bathed, got you know, the shave.
He would probably agree with you. This would be probably the first time he might ever agree with the Joker on anything. Because that's basically what he said. He's like, well, yeah, I haven't called in a while because, you know, I've just been in, basically he said he's been in a funk since, you know, Trump won. And then I don't think he mentioned Tester, but yeah, the John Tester finally getting defeated was, you know, massive for the state of Montana. And so if you're a leftist in Montana, I mean, oh man, you know, first Trump wins and then, you know, the big boy's down too. And so, he said, I think what he said finally got him out of the funk. He went to the Bernie Sanders AOC rally in Missoula. And so that's got him back on his feet again. So,
dude, I mean, he could at least pretend that he's not a far left loon. I mean, you know, if anybody that would say that to you, that they go see Bernie and AOC to lift them up, I mean, you really just that's a big reveal right there.
Although, hey, I would say this, man. I was looking at the school board election results. I saw Billings, Montana school board election results. That Where were the local conservative groups? Where were the local, you know, folks? Basically, you just had, you know, the left win the school board elections in Billings, Montana. So it wiped out at least one of the gains that parents and advocates for kids against all the radical left policies had picked up in recent years. You know, that seat was just taken back by a left-wing candidate. And so, but AOC at the rally in Missoula, she said that very thing. She says, look, Montana Democrats, you know, we are going to focus on every institution to take back power. And she mentioned school boards. So there you go. Again, conservatives so often get complacent.
The, you know, they say, what's the percentage of people, like, say, here in Montana, that already have registered for a mail-in ballot? They get the ballot comes right to their home. If you are too lazy and too just do not apathetic to just take that ballot that comes to your mailbox and you won't just open it up, fill it out, and send it in, I don't know what to say to you. You don't ever deserve to vote. Just cancel your vote. Don't vote at all if you are that lazy and apathetic.
But this is, you know, this is, again, this is what happens when you don't have a big Senate race or presidential race, is a lot of these voters just, it sneaks by. They don't, and if you're not hearing any campaign commercials telling you who the candidates are, this is what happens. And so I hope it's a wake-up call for conservatives heading into the 2026 midterm elections. We've got a big Supreme Court election here in Montana once again. And with Donald Trump not being on the ballot next year, conservatives have got to get their you-know-what in a group here heading. In fact, speaking of the Montana Supreme Court, I know this name, Ron and Big Fork. Ron and Big Fork has called in before, and you know, I don't know the full background of this district judge in Flathead County, Amy Eddy, but one of the liberal reporters just shared on X yesterday, Micah Drew just shared on X yesterday, that Flathead County District Court Judge Amy Eddy is jumping into the Supreme Court race against Judge Dan Wilson, who was one of the Sons of Montana that ran for the Supreme Court last year. So it looks like that is who the Democrats are going to prop up to be their candidate for the Supreme Court next year. And so, again, I hope these conservative groups are getting organized and raising money right now to win another Supreme Court seat like they did with Corey Swanson last year. But Ron and Big Fork, I don't know much about this Judge Amy Eddy, but I know Ron and Big Fork says she's very liberal. She's very soft on crime. He's been very disappointed with a lot of her rulings.
I don't think now, since, you know, going back to last summer, so here we are almost a year where we have the involvement of the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, and all of his entire apparatus and all of his friends involved. All of his friends are billionaires, okay? You know, these people with Doge and all this stuff. There's no longer any more excuse for these type of campaigns to not get funded the same way the left funds their side, because that's been our problem here in Montana with a lot of these races. They come in here with all the dark money funding. Our guys are struggling at, you know, 4-1 deficit against these people with money.
If the Democrat mega donors, the Planned Parenthoods, etc., the ACLUs, if they care about Supreme Court elections in Montana, why don't the Republican mega donors care about Supreme Court elections in Montana and things like that? Now, we did have a big Senate race, which took a lot of the resources, and that was monumental last year. But I truly hope they put a priority on the Supreme Court. The other thing about these school board elections, I think, I can't remember if it was Braxton Mitchell, Representative Mitchell out of Columbia Falls, or if it was Lucas Schubert, the representative out of Kalispell, but I know they both agree, and they both supported legislation. This is why these school board elections shouldn't take place in off-year elections. These elections need to take place when the rest of the big elections take place. Otherwise, you just turn it, hand it over to the teachers' unions to run the show.
That's the way they like it, too. I bet you they want to keep it that way.
Well, that's exactly why the establishment left fights to keep it this way.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We should all give our profound thanks to Montana legislators who once again poured themselves into crafting laws that address opportunities and challenges we face across the state. These results of those efforts aren't always pretty, however, and that's especially so for the property tax. For each successive legislature, it seems, gives us that the property tax system is more complicated than before, and the 69th legislature followed that long tradition. Faced with political firestorms caused by galloping residential housing valuations, lawmakers have responded with a mixture of rebates, exemptions, and tax rates that vary by property use and value, all designed to shield voters, homeowners, from bearing the brunt of future trends in market value. Viewing all this hard work from the cheap seats, one thought comes to my mind. That is the plain and simple fact that property taxes are decided locally, and most of the levers to control their growth can and should be pulled by local taxing authorities, not the legislature. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. It seems that you can't escape hearing the term financial uncertainty these days, as many Americans worry that the impact of tariffs could tip the economy into a recession. But there are many steps you can take to help you cope during this uncertain time, like taking stock of your finances, including your savings and investments, and your budget and credit card expenses, which can give you an idea of your overall financial health. One financial planner recommends that you divide your expenses into three buckets: needs, wants, and wishes. Monthly budget check-ins can help identify if you're overspending or if your needs change. Whether you're worried about job security or high prices, it's best to create an emergency fund. Ideally, it should amount to 3 to 6 months of expenses. And don't panic about your investments. Yes, there will be bad days. But if you do have investments, say in retirement accounts, it's best not to make rush decisions. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I just had to retweet John Jackson's post on X there. Culinary crackdown. ICE raided D.C. restaurant owned by CBS News star Nora O'Donnell's husband. Oh, freaking comical. Okay, let's jump into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970. If you want to jump in on the conversation, John in the Flathead Valley first up. John, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
You bet. Well, here's Amy Hetty. Here's a case that was just done in, I'm going to say roughly around February. It was a tenant-landlord dispute where the landlord or the tenant ended up claiming that they had a buy-sell agreement on the property. Amy Hetty ruled in favor of the landlord but allowed the tenant to stay there for an additional 2 months, where he insisted on cutting down 200-year-old ponderosas, trashed the house so bad that the house had to be demoed. So that is your liberal Amy Hetty's position in dealing with facts of law.
So you would agree then with, I think it was Ron and Big Fork who called in, and he sees her as being soft on crime, soft on criminals, and really, like, if you ask me what a tenant, if a tenant would do that to somebody's home, they're a criminal too, if you ask me, and they need to pay for those crimes. But yet instead, you've got judges that go soft on criminals, and that's who Ron has said this apparent Supreme Court candidate is.
That's exactly right. Amy Hetty would be a typical left-wing liberal judge that's not going to follow the law nor the Constitution. She's horrible. She'd be barred from ever being a lawyer.
All right, John, great to hear from you. Great to hear your perspective. Let's sneak on another caller, and then we'll get John Jackson's take as well. Next up, let's go to Tom in Billings. Tom, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Liberal circuit court judges, they need to understand that they are not there to interpret the law. They're there to uphold the law. President Obama, he got rid of 2.2 million illegal immigrants during his presidency. And now all of a sudden they're going after Trump. We can't do anything because Article 3 of the Constitution does not hold state, they don't hold state Supreme Courts to this rule, but they hold federal judges.
Well, and that whole point, yeah, John and Tom, thanks for the call. John, this is the point, is that, okay, so when Barack Obama and Bill Clinton were waxing poetic, biting their lips, talking about removing illegal aliens from this country, nobody had a problem with it then, but now they don't want to let Donald Trump deport one MS-13 gangbanger out of this country. And Tom, thanks for the call.
What we've been saying for a long time here on your show and podcasts and spaces is the Trump administration has to be ready. I don't know if, Aaron, you saw this surge operation they did the other day over the weekend in Nashville, Tennessee, in which they hit an area that high crime, high illegal alien area, and they did 150 vehicle stops over there, and they got a whole bunch of illegals and guns, drugs, the whole bit, fugitives, all that, people with warrants. And you got to be ready right there with the buses
and you get those people on the illegals on those buses, and those things are driving to the border right then, no stops. And you're telling those people as you're headed to the border, like we said, you got two choices. You can voluntarily deport, or you are going to jail, and you are going to stay there until we officially deport you, and then you're going to Libya.
Hey, what do you think of the plan that came out this week? I mean, this was something that we all talked about before. You know, I summed it up like this. We can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. They've now got a voluntary deportation plan. They'll even pay for the flight for you to go back home using this CBP One app, et cetera. But I know some folks might say, well, why are we even paying a dime to help these people self-deport? Well, it's a lot less expensive than if we fund the whole deportation ourselves.
Well, they're also promising $1,000 in money as a stipend when you prove that you are out of the United States. They'll give you that $1,000 stipend. And that's a big, some of the countries I lived in, $1,000 will go. I mean, you can live on that for months, you know, based on their exchange rate with the U.S. dollar.
Earlier this morning, I got a chance to catch up with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines, and we were talking about Gallatin County, where the Gallatin County attorney, a Democrat, is standing in the way of ICE trying to round up these criminal illegal aliens and get them deported. There was a massive drug bust. I don't know if you saw that story. Cocaine, meth, you know, six figures worth of cash and more. Several illegal aliens busted in this big drug bust in Gallatin County. I saw another headline recent headline from the nonstop local TV stations. Mexican man faces aggravated burglary charge put on ICE immigration hold. I didn't see his name on the jail roster, so I'm hopeful that maybe they just already deported that guy. I don't know. Or maybe they put him back out on the streets.
He said standing in the way. How is this DA standing in the way?
There's several factors. Basically, Sheriff Dan Springer is right now working to push a deal to where, because ICE needs jail space. They need bed space. So, okay, they go round up these illegal aliens. They need a place to hold them until they can process them and deport them. So it's temporary space. She's pushing back against that. She doesn't want to see a deal like that put in place to begin with. But also, if you look at her broader commentary, in fact, I've got her full legal opinion that she drafted here to the Gallatin County Commissioners and Sheriff Dan Springer. But if you look at her broader legal opinion, she basically suggests that unless they commit additional crimes while here in the United States of America, that she doesn't believe they should be held accountable for simply being illegal aliens and breaking that law to begin with.
Well, this right here is where our U.S. attorney, who I believe is going to be Kurt Almy, this is going to be up to Kurt Almy to make an example of this woman. Okay, we're not asking you to be a Republican or a conservative. We are going to ask you to cooperate and go along with federal law. If you do not, if you act as an obstacle, as an obstructionist, we're going to teach you a lesson. You want our attention? We're going to give you attention, and you're not going to like it.
Yeah, in fact, speaking of Kurt Almy, great guy. He is the acting U.S. attorney here in Montana. He served in Trump's first term administration. I did see a press release here. He has now been officially nominated by President Trump to be the full-time U.S. attorney. So, yeah, there you go. Speaking of Bozeman, let's go to Tom in Bozeman next up on the phone lines. Tom, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
I just want to read you something quickly out of the Chronicle. Just about a year ago, so the National Democratic Organization and Abortion Access Advocates this week announced they're about to spend millions in state Supreme Court races with an eye toward Montana's nonpartisan contest. Nonpartisan, people don't know what affiliation or what beliefs are, what beliefs their candidates have. The idea that these races are somehow nonpartisan, apolitical, you know, you'd have to be very naive, you know, to think that was the case. I mean, to the liberal mind, they've got an agenda and they march in lockstep. They do not ever move off of their preordained position. And Dan Wilson, significantly more of his money came in from Montana residents than did Bittigieri's money, but all of her money, she dramatically outspent him, but probably at least half of her money, if not more, came in from out of state, such as this organization. And in these type of nonpartisan races, the more money you've got, the more ads you can run, the more likely you are you're going to win.
Which is exactly why the conservatives need to start amassing their war chest right now, and they need to focus on it. And, you know, the fact that they didn't focus on these school board elections here recently, I think, is a warning sign heading into next year that they need to start amassing that war chest. Yeah, Tom, thanks for the call. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Watch for this, a frequent tactic that these people use with their Democrat candidates across the board is you'll see some kind of header on their ads, you know, TV, billboards, whatever. Third generation Montana, fifth generation rancher, all this stuff. Let me tell you something. That means exactly jack and squat. Okay, these people have nothing in common with you. And like Rush Limbaugh said for 25 years or 21 years, there is no such thing anymore as a moderate Democrat. And that was, you know, Rush passed away how many years ago? I mean, that is never truer than it is today.
Yeah. The Mighty Human Z is the co-host of the Behind Enemy Lines podcast on Rumble with our friend John Jackson here. And, you know, I mentioned how you were celebrating your white privilege by attending a track meet yesterday. Apparently, Z wants to weigh in on your privilege as well. Z, great to hear from you.
Gentlemen, good morning. Probing question of the day. What is the greater white privilege, an EV or riding a bicycle? And by the way, there's no escape from alky trash like Nancy Pelosi. Thank you very much,
gentlemen. All right. What is the greater white privilege? We'll have to, we should actually throw this one to David Noble. He gets a little... gets a little defensive of the cycling communities. No, I'm just joking. But,
did you see the meme they've already done about they've taken Alcatraz and put up the Trump Casino?
Oh nice. Be a nice little boat ride over to that one. The boat itself could be a casino. It'd be like one of those Mississippi River boats, you know?
It could. You have to believe Trump is just trolling these people with all of that. It would be funny, but it's probably just not doable just because of logistics. But it is funny.
Speaking of privilege, did you hear? Now the left is just running rampant with this idea that not only if you work out and exercise, is that privilege, is that a sign of you being a right-wing wacko, but if you focus on a healthy diet, if you focus on, you know, protein, and if you focus on the importance of protein in your diet, that's male privilege especially.
Well, have you seen some of these Democrats at these protests? You can tell they are not following any kind of diet. That is
no,
for sure.
No protein, no good Montana beef in the diet protocol there. Anyway, we'll get to that next.
Securing America.
Attorney General Pam Bondi, the DEA, and other law enforcement officials announcing a drug bust Tuesday, which Bondi called
the largest fentanyl bust in our nation's history.
She said 11.5 kilos of fentanyl were seized, including
3 million fentanyl pills.
Bondi said the pills were labeled as oxycodone in various strengths. U.S. Attorney for New Mexico, Ryan Ellison.
The sheer scale and potency of this fentanyl is sobering, with enough lethal doses to kill countless Americans.
The drug trafficking organization was part of Mexico's Sinaloa cartel. 16 were arrested in all, and multiple kilos of heroin, cocaine, and meth, and nearly 50 firearms were also seized across several states, with Bondi promising this is not the end.
More seizures are coming. More arrests are coming. I guarantee you that.
Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Apparently, the smoke is coming out of the Vatican. There is smoke coming out of the Vatican. So we know that John Jackson, the Joker, is on the radio. That's what that means. When the smoke comes out of the Vatican, John is on the radio with us. So
there it is, right there. Look over there.
There's white smoke coming out of the refinery.
White
smoke coming out by the actually steam. That's just steam. But the environmentalists will tell you it's smoke. That's steam. Yeah. But actually, on that front, why are they pumping smoke out of the Vatican? That's not, I mean, climate change, carbon dioxide. But why aren't they pumping steam out of the Vatican? I mean, maybe the conclave needs to come visit the conclave known as Colstrip and figure out how to pump steam out instead of smoke.
Right? Not very green, is it?
Not very green. So one of our listeners, this was a listener in Bozeman, this was a message that came in on the Montana Talks app earlier. Does the Vatican file appropriate environmental impact on the chemicals they use to color the smoke when they burn their ballots? Alert John Kerry and Greta Thunberg immediately. That was from Michael and Bozeman.
Did you see what they said this morning? The cardinals that are invited to vote to see who's going to be the next pope. Do you know they have a rule that they can't be over 80 years old? Huh. Maybe we ought to institute that in Congress, you know, or have some kind of cognitive test like they said for years with Joe Biden. There's a reason why they say over a certain age you shouldn't be voting on this.
The Babylon Bee headlines were the best when it comes to the Pope selection stuff. They were like, CNN assures Catholics that the Pope is still very much on top of it behind closed doors after the Pope had clearly passed away, right?
Well, I had an announcement for you here, Aaron. I'm going to have to leave. I'm out of here for about 90 days. Going TDY over to Missoula. And I don't know if you heard, there is a crisis over there, and it's a crisis of holelessness. I don't know if you heard that. They put out a big news story on it the other day. There is apparently a big crisis of holelessness over there. So John Jackson is going to head over there and see if I can help him out.
The Missoula Current, one of the Missoulian reporters sent out a great tweet the other day. Everybody needs a copy editor. So the Missoula Current is a liberal blog in Missoula run by the former, comms director for the Montana Democrat Party. But, yeah, he was reporting from some event, and he said, you know, Missoula is tackling the problem of hoelessness. We're tackling the problem of hoelessness. If you don't have enough hoes around here, they're tackling hoelessness in Missoula.
It's definitely a problem. We just cannot have this going on in the greatest country in the world, or even, you know, in the last blessed place of Montana. So I'm just going to dedicate 90 days to go over there and help them out.
You know, they need, what's his name? A name from Cheers. Billy Ho from White Men Can't Jump. Maybe he could be the keynote speaker at their hoelessness conference in Missoula.
They never changed that headline either. They never deleted it or anything. He just went on with it. Yeah.
Well, you know, when you despise Elon Musk so much that you don't want to pay for the, you know, premium account on X so that you can go back and edit a mistake, that's what you get. You get stuck with a hopelessness in your headline.
But you can still delete.
I guess you could still delete it. Yeah, but I almost tweeted that one out, but I think I sent it to you and Tim and Savage instead, and I said, you know, John Jackson does not have a problem with hopelessness, so, you know, maybe he could help Missoula out here.
Dude, I picked up that football and ran it to the goal line.
That's why I sent it to you. I was like, oh, man, here we go. They say don't feed the Bears. I'm just going to feed the Joker. Here you go,
fun. That was just too good.
You know, spin him up and send him on his way.
Always do a spell check, ladies and gentlemen. Spell check.
Not homelessness. Holelessness is the big problem in Missoula. Tackling all the big issues. The TV stations could jump in on this, and they could do another one of those working for you public service announcements promoting their TV station. All right, let's see. Let's sneak in another caller, and then we have to talk about another male privilege. Eating beef, eating protein. It's male privilege, apparently, according to Vanity Fair and some of the other left-wing so-called news outlets. But first, let's go to Dave in Columbia Falls. Dave, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, guys. Thanks. You know, one of the things you just brought up, the Catholic Church, what isn't talked about much is the CCP's agreement to control the choice of the bishops in the Catholic Church. And I don't think a lot of people hear about this. This happened 7 years ago. And the Vatican entered into this agreement with the CCP, and it's very murky exactly how much control they have in that agreement. But it's something that the public ought to know about, and the Catholics should demand transparency over it. Now, the real reason I called, I was at the Leakin Reagan dinner Friday night in Kalispell. Walked in, there's Lucas Schubert saying right there. So I engaged him in conversation for 30 minutes. He's one of the youngest, most controlled nice people you will ever meet.
Yeah, smart young man, yeah.
Oh, he is. I've communicated with him many times over Twitter. First time I got to meet him, he was exactly what I thought he'd be, stand-up guy. I'm done talking to him. I walk across the room, and here's the guy standing there. No one's talking to him. Austin Knutson, our attorney general. I end up talking to him for 30 minutes.
Best AG in the country. Best AG in the country right there, yeah.
So in talking to him, since I'm former law enforcement, we had a conversation about the reservation and about enforcing crime cross-border going into the reservation. How far can the state go? Which led into a conversation that really bothers me is the number of state agents we have in Montana. I don't want to say it on the air, but he told me, and it's shocking, we ought to have quadruple that number of people under the AG's office investigating statewide crime. And that's another issue that doesn't get a lot of publicity. But when I brought it up to him, it opened the box up and he explained it to me. And wow.
Yeah, no, very good point. Thanks for your service in law enforcement. John, you were in federal law enforcement. We not only need more federal agents here in Montana, but state agents, state investigators as well. I know A.G. Knutson has pressed for that throughout his tenure as A.G. He also worked for that when he was serving as Speaker of the House in the legislature as well. Look, you know, us and our fellow conservatives, we're all about, you know, lowering government spending or limiting the increases, you know, based on certain calculations. But when it comes to law enforcement, look, that's not an area where you want to go in and go on the cheap. Just like expanding our prison right now. I know there's a lot of people that don't want to pay for prisons. We need them. We have to have the prison capacity to put some of these people behind bars.
Yeah, and this is, like we hit this all the time, we've been talking about this. I first came to Montana in 2000, so I've been in and out of Montana working law enforcement for 25 years. And we've been talking about this for 25 years, and it never changes. And what everybody has to understand, too, I'm telling you this right now, your state of Montana criminal justice system is absolutely dysfunctional for two reasons. They won't put them in jail. They won't actually follow through with and prosecute felonies at the county attorney level, and then you can't get them put in jail, put in the prison, because they're saying they don't have space. And this is not new. It's been going on forever. And I mean, that's why you need more federal agents here, because it's obvious the state system is never going to change. So you need federal agents to go after the top level violators and put them in federal prison.
Hey guys, you know, it's Montana. We love our beef. We love our protein. But here's the thing, even if it wasn't just about supporting Montana ranchers and eating more beef, we know that eating beef is important for your diet. If you want to be healthy, eating beef is key to your health. It's just such a great source of protein. It contains all those macronutrients, all those micronutrients, all in one spot. I'll tell you what, if you haven't tried out Reminis Angus beef, you've got to check it out. You can find a lot of their jerky products in gas stations and grocery stores across the state, or you can just go right to the Reminis Angus Ranch website as well. Brian Massard, Dillon, Montana, Reminis Angus Ranch. In fact, they've been partnering with N-Soil Algae on some really cool rangeland health ideas and concepts when it comes to their cattle. So it's a great story as well if you haven't checked it out. But yeah, Reminis Angus Ranch, check them out, Dillon, Montana. But John Jackson, this was Will Kane on his show yesterday. Let me cue it up here in the right spot.
You are what you eat. And according to Vanity Fair, a protein-heavy diet says a lot about your politics. The magazine getting roasted online after writing, "Why are Americans so obsessed with protein? Blame MAGA." From the Liver King to the Podcast Bros to RFK Jr.'s MAHA constituents, America's infatuation with protein has reached a fever pitch, and it's undeniably gendered. How's that gendered? Apparently, it feeds into toxic masculinity. The article says protein suggests a strong correlation between the rise of the likes of the men's rights movement and our national lust for protein.
Our national lust for protein, John.
Who would write something that idiotic? I mean, where are you going with this? What is that going to get you politically or health-wise or anything? The stupidity of people in the national media is just insane.
I think it comes down to their climate alarmist rhetoric, and they want fewer people. They don't want cows. They don't want ranching because they see it as a carbon footprint. So they want to attack healthy food as a result. I think there's a bigger picture, too.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, Gavin Newsom is trying. We need to do a forensics on why we lost. Probably not a bad idea, but don't think for a second that he's not thinking about himself right now. The real leadership of the Democratic Party is the left wing. Gavin Newsom has embodied that. His biggest problem, if he wants to make that run, will be his own record. Jasmine Crockett doesn't know if she's the future of the Democratic Party. Crockett said, I don't know that I'm the future of the Democratic Party, but I do know that in this moment, we need people that are unafraid and willing to go after the administration for the good of the entirety of the country. I want to make sure we're shining a light on all the darkness that they are bringing to the country right now. I'd say that the darkness happened in their era.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Attention retirement savers. J.P. Morgan predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to Forbes, 2025 recession risks just increased significantly. And Ray Dalio warns of a more serious global breakdown. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to the award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to find out how you can help diversify your savings tax and penalty-free today. Help protect what you've worked so hard for before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Fox Rocks.
I'm Michelle Polino. Benson Boone's set to catapult into arenas nationwide with a massive headlining tour. Kicking off this summer, the pop star announced a 29-date North American arena run stretching through early October, kicking off August 22nd in St. Paul and wrapping up October 8th in Salt Lake City. With stops at Madison Square Garden, LA's Crypto Arena, and Boston's TD Garden, Boone's star continues to rise after two attention-grabbing Coachella performances and a recent Saturday Night Live appearance. His sophomore album, American Heart, drops June 20th. Celine Dion, Himesh Patel, and Hannah Waddingham are set to voice characters in Paul McCartney's animated film, High in the Clouds. Idris Elba, Lionel Richie, and Ringo Starr have also joined the 3D animated feature. The film adapts McCartney's popular children's book, which explores themes of family and freedom of expression through music. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Summer is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, that's right. Mark Cotterney with his beady little eyes. Yeah, get that headset on there, John. John's throwing a piece of gum in there. That's all right. We can take your time, John. We got a whole nother hour ready to roll here.
Yeah, you're doing your lines. Funny. And I couldn't hear the intro music.
I was like, man, what are we going to talk about next? I was like, Mark Carney with his beady little eyes showing up at the White House. Man, but you predicted this. You were the guy who predicted this. You said, oh, look, this guy is talking all sorts of tough during the Canadian elections. Yeah, I'm going to go after Trump and Trump this and Trump that. And, oh, I'm one tough Canadian. Well, how about that, eh? The guy shows up with his tail wagging, you know, just cowered in the face of Trump yesterday.
Not only cowered with his words, but then you watch his body language when he's there in front of Trump, and he is completely and utterly not only submissive, but intimidated, and absolutely knows he better not pull some kind of Zelensky deal in there. He better just give the President of the United States his due respect, or he's going to get spanked.
Yeah, here was a part of the audio. I saw the Trump War Room. You know... President Trump had the upper hand when the Trump War Room is sharing the audio of the Canadian Prime Minister, basically talking up Trump.
Thank you for your hospitality and above all for your leadership. You're a
You're a transformational president, focus on the economy with a relentless focus on the American worker, securing your borders, providing ending the scourge of fentanyl and other opioids, and securing the world.
Anyway, so there you go, securing the world. You're a transformational president. Thank you for your hospitality and, above all, for your leadership. All these Canadians who are at these hockey games, oh, yeah, we're going to be tough against the USA. And then this guy shows up like this, you know, like, anyway, it'd be fun to be a fly on the wall in some Canadian, you know, outfits today.
And that may be also the silver lining of, once again, what Zelensky did when he came over here, because then Trump punched back really hard and showed the world what happens to you if you come in and disrespect the president right in D.C., right in the United States, right in the White House. You're going to regret it. And that should just be, it should be protocol with any meeting of world leaders anywhere, is be nice. That's how it's supposed to be. You people are elected and paid to do these jobs because you're supposed to be professional businessmen who know how to make deals and get along.
Well, and apparently as a result of this meeting already, President Trump is getting Canada to pick up their share of the defense funding when it comes to NATO countries like us as well, because they haven't been picking up their share of that. They've been benefiting from the security, but they haven't been picking up their share of it. But so that was one big victory. I also thought it was funny, the Daily Caller had a story about how President Trump said that he was, quote, probably the greatest thing that happened to Carney, because Carney ran against Trump, and so to a certain extent did the conservative candidate up there. But Trump kind of made it clear early on that he kind of wanted to see a weaker leader in Canada so that he could advance his America First agenda much more easily. And it seems like that's exactly what is playing out here. It worked for Carney because he gets to be the prime minister, but it works for Trump because he gets to advance the America First agenda.
Did you see the video where Carney actually came out and said, you know, because Trump's always, you know, he was just trolling them with that Canada being the 51st state and all that. And so I think somebody from the media asked Carney about it. He said, oh, you know, Canada's not for sale. And you see, right when he's saying that, Trump is over there on the side doing that thing where he just kind of nods his head and smirking like, yeah, you know, I'll buy you if I want to, dude.
I see the left is freaking out now. I don't know if this was political playbook or whatever, but they're freaking out because Donald Trump has told his intelligence chiefs to step up surveillance on Greenland. So they're all freaking out. They're freaking out about that. It's like, look at the Chinese and the Russians and their activity in and around Greenland. Like, why wouldn't you up your surveillance?
What do you need to surveil Greenland? Like a pair of binoculars? I mean... Send somebody at the airport with a pair of binoculars.
All right. Grandpa Lou, we ran out of time, but hey, call back in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get to you.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We should all give our profound thanks to Montana legislators who once again poured themselves into crafting laws that address opportunities and challenges we face across the state. These results of those efforts aren't always pretty, however, and that's especially so for the property tax. For each successive legislature, it seems, gives us that the property tax system is more complicated than before, and the 69th legislature followed that long tradition. Faced with political firestorms caused by galloping residential housing valuations, lawmakers have responded with a mixture of rebates, exemptions, and tax rates that vary by property use and value, all designed to shield voters, whoops, I mean homeowners, from bearing the brunt of future trends in market value. Viewing all this hard work from the cheap seats, one thought comes to my mind. That is the plain and simple fact that property taxes are decided locally, and most of the levers to control their growth can and should be pulled by local taxing authorities, not the legislature. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.